You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. Hey, folks. Real short call to action today from us at the Guides Association. We have a hearing coming up in Rhode Island on Monday, and the details are the following. This is going to be about the potential for Rhode Island adopting regulations for false albacore and bonito to get in line, follow up with the leadership in New England from Massachusetts and further down the coast in North Carolina. So this meeting is going to be Monday, January 12th at 5 p.m. And it's in the URI Bay Campus in the auditorium on 215 South Ferry Road in Narragansett, Rhode Island. There is a Zoom, but unfortunately, and not to our surprise, it is listen only. It has a jam-packed agenda with everything from striped bass, bluefish, summer flounder, to tog, scup, you name it. And then at the end, it's going to be false albacore and Atlantic bonito regulations. And, man, we need some butts in the seats, because it should come as no surprise that the normal cast of characters are opposed to this. They're marshaling support and complaints that, you know, these two fisheries should be completely unregulated, remain that way. It's always shocking at the lack of foresight, the lack of concern for future generations, the lack of concern about the decline of the striped bass population, how important these two fisheries are going to be for Rhode Island, you know, especially over the next few years, completely ignoring the growing black market for albies and bonito in farmers markets in Rhode Island. If y'all are listening to this and you don't fish in New England, there's basically been a group of folks on jet skis that catch every bonito and false albacore that they can, put them in a cooler, drop them off to a mothership, just keep going all day, and then mysteriously these fish appear in farmers markets throughout New England, completely under the table, completely not regulated. That's one of the driving forces behind Massachusetts instituting their regulations. And Massachusetts and Rhode Island share so much water. All that effort from this illegal activity is just going to fall on Rhode Island territorial waters now. Really, truly disgusting. But, you know, here we are again. It's hard for me to believe that the opposition basically just doesn't like us. They don't like conservation-minded anglers. They don't like anyone who wants to put regulations to safeguard a fishery for the future. It's a lot easier when you have proactive management and you don't have to get into a crisis situation. But, you know, here we are again. So, you know, again, this meeting is at 5 p.m. at the Corliss Auditorium on the URI Bay Campus, 215 South Ferry Road in Narragansett. As far as we can tell, you cannot make public comments over the Zoom, and I know it's a big ask at 5 o'clock on a Monday, but the more positive responses that we can get, more support that we can get, the more likely these regulations are going to go through. And, you know, we're basically reaching out. Hopefully a couple of people listen to this, care about it, and attend the meeting. But no matter what happens, we appreciate all of you and know you're concerned about this and know you want these in place. And essentially, you know, we have to make our voices heard. So in any event, this is kind of just the first step in going down this road for Rhode Island. We are going to create a tidal wave of support. And ultimately, you know, we are going to win. At this point in our lives, we're not shocked that this opposition is going to, you know, gin up a bunch of nonsensical talking points, not based on science, not based on anything other than self-interest. And we're going to have to push back on them. There's a lot on the line. More and more effort is going to be on these fish because of the lack of other species. And we are going to fight tooth and nail to make sure that they're around for y'all to catch and enjoy for a long time coming. And this is when we are going to reach out and say, you know, we need your help. So if anyone has any questions, concerns, anything, you can always email us at info@saltwaterguidesassociation.org. Again, that's info@saltwaterguidesassociation.org, and we'll definitely drop what we're doing, answer your questions, help out in any way that we can. But if you could stand up for the resource, get out there, make your voice heard, this is one of those situations where it'll actually make a difference. So we're here for you if you have any questions. We're going to have to push this home hard. And it's nothing that we're not used to. Basically, you know, here's the gist of everything. Rhode Island really needs to adopt the same regulations as Massachusetts. And that's a 5-fish aggregate. That is more than enough. I mean, think about if you're on a charter boat, 6 people, you know, you need bait for shark fishing. That's 30 albies. I don't know why you would need more bait than that. We all know bonito don't keep well. And why would any boat with a 6-pack license need to keep more than 30 bonito? I mean, you can't freeze the stuff. The new regulations should mirror the existing regulations in Massachusetts. And for recreational anglers and for commercial anglers, it should cap the fishery and not allow for any expansion. Again, both of these species are way more important than they were years ago because of the downturn in stripers. Proactive management will provide Rhode Island recreational anglers, tackle shops, manufacturers with reliable opportunity to pursue these species. We're just closing a 5-year research project on false albacore, and the data shows a connected stock, and y'all will see the paper soon when it comes out, but albies respond well to catch and release fishing. It's got peer-reviewed science. It'll be out here hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Some people may assume that the population of albies is large, and the reality is that the fish move frequently and can be offshore in the morning and on the beach in the same afternoon. As an example, we had one fish that traveled from Nantucket Sound to the Dry Tortugas in less than 28 days. And the way the species feeds, moves, migrates, gives a false assumption that they're everywhere, because you're probably looking at the same fish. They just are really fast. As I said before, it's well known that certain individuals have been catching and selling albies at farmers markets under the table. We cannot allow these black markets for fish that are popping up everywhere, that are so critical and are gonna keep the angling economy going in New England during uncertain times. And Rhode Island has to put their big boy pants on and manage these fish in a way that represents their importance to the economy, as well as the passion that they elicit from the catch and release community. We certainly don't ask that black sea bass and flounder are treated as a catch and release fishery. Likewise, false albacore should not be treated as a harvest fishery. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Sorry. The value of this fish in New England is for catch and release, and we are demanding that Rhode Island manage them that way. So, 5 o'clock on Monday, rally the troops. Please, support us, support these fish. Can't even begin to explain how important this is. Appreciate all your time for listening to this. We're putting out a ton of episodes on the Guidepost this year. We're going to let y'all know what's going on all the time. If you have any questions, send them to info@saltwaterguidesassociation.org, and we hope all of y'all have an awesome day.